It's a great privilege for me to welcome Debia, who's going to be serving us with a word this morning. I don't see Debia. Where is he? What do I say? In the shadows. So Debia, we've had the privilege of serving together with Debia in this congregation, together with Runel. So Debia is an ex-Durbanville, or probably still Durbanville, honorary member. So he moved to the land of coffee in Cape Town to pastor the church there. But what I know about Debia is that he's got such a heart for the lost, a heart for evangelism, and also a heart which I saw for building communities across cultures. And I really look forward to hearing from him. They were one of the pioneer families in our church to start the concept of communal living. So they had a quite a big house in Wellway Park, Skoongezicht area, where a lot of our congregation members lived together and shared life and shared fellowship with all the challenges and the joy that comes along with communal living. But a family whose home is open and who serve faithfully. So Debia, what a pleasure to receive from you this morning. Let's give Debia a hand as he comes up to share with us.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be back. Having three baby dedications does wonders for your church attendance, it seems. I always tell the guys, you always have to pack out less chairs than what you expect people to come, so that when the people come, then you have to pack out more chairs, and everybody gets very excited because the church is so full. But today, that was really the case. I think all the chairs have been used. So if you don't have a seat, it seems everyone has a seat. So maybe that's divine providence as well. Or maybe those who didn't get one left, may they find another good service this morning to attend. I received a prophetic word through a friend of mine long ago that said that I will receive many sermons through my son. And it has often happened so that I would observe him, and so the Lord would speak to me and I would receive sermons through my son. But this morning, he woke up and he called me to his room when he woke up. He's 4 years old now. He's also a Daniel. And he said, Papa, ek weet waaroor jy vanoggend kan preek. So I was like, okay, that's in line with the prophetic word. I didn't think you would give it to me this direct, but let's hear. And he just said in Afrikaans, he said, jy kan vir die mense sê dat Jesus is God en hy kan alles doen. In English, he said that I must tell you that Jesus is God and he can do all things. And then I wondered whether I should now change the sermon that I've been working on from the early morning hours up until when he woke up. And then I thought maybe this will just be a good introduction to, before I start, because I won't be that long. I've got some work for you guys to do, so I won't necessarily be that long. But just to share with you a few things that this Jesus has been doing and has done recently that I've observed that testify to the fact that Jesus is God and that he can do all things. I think let's start with this last weekend. Some of you were actually at the Freedom Encounter this weekend. I saw some of you here. It was absolutely incredible. Maybe you saw it advertised and you didn't know what it's about, but I remember one of the lines that Pastor Amo O'Kennedy used in the introduction. He said one of the things that assures him of his faith in Christ so often and the fact that Jesus can do all things is when you see someone manifesting a demon and that demon speaks to you and then the demon leaves in Jesus' name and the person is freed. That is an experience. We're all called to do that, right? Did you know you're called to cast out demons? All right? So that experience, to see that happening and to see how the devil submit to the power of Christ is incredible. And we saw that this weekend so many times. And to see the freedom in someone's eyes when they've been set free of something that's been holding them for so long is one of the most beautiful things. To see people meeting the living God and the devil's running. We saw it this weekend firsthand, and it was a testimony again in my heart that Jesus can do all things. Amen. How cool is that? Also, another thing that I have just seen Jesus do this last while, the testify that he can do all things, is we went to India. I think maybe Melissa has given you some feedback. I'm not sure. But we decided to, when lockdown was, we just made it possible, we decided to go to India. We were a team of 16. There were still quite a few hurdles to get through. But to have 16 negative PCRs, because they don't accept our vaccination certificates even, but 16 negative PCRs the day before we fly and 16 negative PCRs before the day we fly back was a miracle, because half the team was feeling sick anyway before we came back. That happens in India, but it wasn't COVID. And to see the power of God moving there, people coming to salvation in India, and having conversation with Buddhist monks that has given their life to become free of themselves, to be enlightened and to be set free of all the things that holds one back, to have conversations with monks that have done this for 30 years and meditated, and to ask them, so how have you been overcoming anger and lust in your life through what you have done? And time again, they're saying, it's so difficult. They haven't yet, but they're sure they will at some stage. And then in that moment when they think we are American tourists, they tell us how probably they want to, I don't know, impress us, how they would take off their monk suits and put on normal clothes and go into town and just start fights in the streets just to get their anger out. And then they go back and they put on their monk suits again and they try their best to just keep it in and be holy. And then me and my friend would share with them, like, he was a drug addict on opiates for 13 years and how Jesus set him free, and how I've been into clubs many times in my life just going out with a group of friends looking for that fight that he still goes for, and drinking way too much and looking for just being there for the wrong reasons, and how Jesus set us free, and we testify. And those guys, the one guy started, he got tears in his eyes. He looked at us and said, that cannot be true. That is too easy. I've worked so hard, and I haven't attained to that. And we would talk to him about the joy and peace that would lead us to tears that we found in the presence of God. And they would have no answer and just said, we've never experienced anything like that. Though they've been trying in the flesh for 30 years, but through Christ, we have victory that we don't even realize how strong that victory is and how amazing the victory is until we speak to someone that's been trying it in the flesh for 30 years and they just get no results. So I was so encouraged with that and many other things in his power. And that was the little insert I decided to do because of the word of my four-year-old son that I obeyed. So I hope it was a blessing to some of you. And now I will start with the actual word that I had on my heart that I hope would bless you as well. I also realized, and maybe I should say for this message, it's important to say that I recognize quite a few of you might not be members of this congregation, yet this word will be very applicable and might have a very wonderful effect to you in your congregation as well, and might even be a word for you. We will also have a lot of discussion time today, so you won't only be listening to my voice. You will have a few difficult questions that you will try to discuss with those around you. The introverts are like going, oh man, I wasn't hoping for that. The extroverts are going, oh, that's awesome. I don't have to listen to that guy the whole time. So I ask that you just follow my logic for the quick teaching. And since this will not only be about my teaching, but much more than my teaching, also your discussion and the things we will refer to, I can assure you with 100% certainty that there will be a big take home for you today if you're open for that. Or is anyone open to just hear something from the Lord? Can I see your hand if you are? Can we respond in faith and say, yeah, that'd be cool? Okay. Are you ready to receive something from God? Not from me. Maybe through me, maybe through your neighbor. But let's have an expectation for the word of God. Let us pray together. Father, I commit this time this morning to you for your glory, for the sake of your great name, for our joy in you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill this place, fill this room with your glory, with your love. We cast out any doubt, Father, in Jesus' name. We cast out anxiety. We ask, Father, that you would inhabit our hearts this morning, that you would work in us. I pray that you would bless my mind and my thoughts as I share, and open us up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you know your Bible well, you would realize that my sermon title comes from James 1, verse 22. Do you know what James 1, verse 22 says? Oh, they've probably already put it on the screen. Oh, man. No worries. James is saying, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Sure. What does that mean? Where does he come from? Now, James is the guy that says, faith without works is dead. Whereas Paul was the one who says, we cannot earn salvation by our works, but by faith alone. And James says, but faith without works is dead. And Martin Luther almost wanted to throw the book of James out because he was thinking at some stage that it was referring to works and salvation by works. But actually, it does not. And most of you would know this, is the fact that when you are truly saved by grace through faith and you've come to Christ and you've been born again, you've been changed from the inside out. Like, I'm not the man that still wants to go to the clubs and just beat everyone up. I'm not that man anymore. I'm different. I'm a new creation. That's what happens when you're in Christ. Have you had that moment with God? Maybe you haven't, and maybe you should reach out and say, God, I cannot continue like this. Change me, Jesus. Maybe that's for you this morning. But those of us who have truly come to repentance and faith in God, the Holy Spirit changes us. Surely, He changes us. And that new creation, one of its fruits is that it obeys the word of God. It wants to be like God. It still wrestles with the flesh, but it's got a deep-rooted desire for God and holiness, and it changes. And God sanctifies us. So if someone says he's a Christian, but there is no proof in their lives, no proof of love, no proof of change, no proof of power, no proof of true deep repentance in their hearts, then James says, well, you're saying it was, you're born again, but you're not. We can see the proof in your works. Faith without works is dead. Don't come with your games and say, I'm a Christian. But I take off these robes and then I go to the street and I punch a lot of people and I come back to church and I try my best to be holy. That is not Christianity. Amen? So James is that guy who makes it very clear that we cannot make this a fluffy thing and just everyone is accepted. When you say I'm a Christian, then you're a Christian. There should be fruits, and those fruits should be clearly visible. Now, when they are not, then don't try to fix them, but run to God, who can change you. Okay? I wasn't planning on saying this, but this is for some of you who've had some of the same struggles than me the last while, but as believers, often we also come to this place where you say, oh God, I long to have a deeper prayer life. Oh God, I just long to have a greater desire for your word. And then you get, there's a sermon on it and you get excited for it. And once again, you try your best to start your prayer life up again. How many of you have like really been there? You try again to start this thing up again, you know, but you don't get much further than the last time. Still just what you have, and then you try, and then you fail, and it actually takes you back a bit because you fail and you can't you don't think you can. And Andrew Murray so beautifully writes and says, you will fail every time when you do that. When we don't use the same, when we don't engage the same transaction we did when we came to Christ the first time and said, God, I cannot save myself. Will you save me? And you waited on him and he changed you and he did it. That same thing, believers, we should still do that. Oh, God, I cannot pray. I struggle to pray. God, I desire it. Would you forgive me? Change me? And you wait on him. And then the small drops of desire starts to come into your spirit that you didn't have before. Or that irritation you had with your wife starts to disappear just a little bit. And you say, wow, I haven't had this much patience in a long time. And you look to God and you say, God, are you doing something in me? And you respond in faith to what you then see the Holy Spirit does in you. And that is how we change and grow in whatever we do. Where was I? But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So, believers, when we hear that we should be doers of the word, I wasn't planning on saying all these things now. The danger for us that we see in this scripture is when we become complacent as believers, we don't put the Word of God in its rightful place in our lives. When the Word of God is in its rightful place in our lives, we understand that we submit to it and seek to obey it. But sometimes, through various circumstances and the dreadfulness of our own hearts, we don't obey it. We hear it, but we don't obey it. You hear a sermon, you don't obey it. God speaks to you, you don't do anything about it. And you think, oh, God will forgive me, what. Yes, he will. But the problem with that is, the Word of God says, when you do that, and it's just a psychological principle that's very easy to understand, when you do that too often, when you hear something and you just go away and you don't do anything about what you have heard, you will become deceived. Why? Because you are telling your mind that the Word of God is not something to obey. Which is exactly what it is not. So of the too many instances of hearing something and just being casual with it, of listening to some YouTube sermon or this or that, content is everywhere. We're bombarded through the Bible app and our Best Life Now preachers and whatever it is that we're looking, we're like, oh, that's cool. Oh, have you heard this thing? Have you seen that thing? Have you heard what Dale said on Sunday? It was so cool. But then we don't do it. And we tell our minds that the Word of God is not to be obeyed, but it's just to hear. And sometimes we feel we get a endorphin reaction when we hear a cool revelation. We're like, oh, that's so cool. Thank you, Jesus. That's so amazing. And then you leave it right there, and the Word of God becomes something that it should, it becomes half of what it should be, and you become deceived. And obviously there's a big challenge with this deception in the fact that you become hardened of heart. Because now it doesn't matter who says what, it doesn't affect your life. Because you've trained your brain to not respond. Are you with me? So many of us today might be here, and you might have trained your brain to not respond to the Word of God because you've just heard so much of it and haven't done a lot of it. You're sitting here, your heart feels cold and numb. And you're just going to walk out of here and say, that was a nice message. Or maybe you can say, it wasn't such a nice message. Because a hard rock was thrown at my hard heart and it hurt. But I bounced it off. That might, if I'm offensive this morning, forgive me. But I believe God wants to take some of those hearts and make them soft again. And they can become like children again who look at their father and go, wow, you're so amazing. My son just wants to do whatever I do. Do you still want to just do whatever your father is doing like Jesus did? Or is there a hardness of heart that you maybe have to respond to this morning? Another indication of that hardness of heart is the fact that when someone says, you have to do more for God, you go, don't say those kind of things. Don't speak about works to me. I'm a man of grace. The man with a soft heart said, yes, I long to do more for God. God help me. And understands grace, not only to save me, but also to enable me to fulfill the will of God in my life and to see the ends of the earth come to the knowledge of Jesus. Amen? And for us to come to the fullness. So what's the word you should obey? The word you should obey is a combination of scripturally founded ideas, revelations, commands, rebukes that has somehow, through trusted sources, found its way to your heart at this specific time. Okay? You cannot respond to the whole Bible right now. Surely not. But there is something that God has divinely orchestrated for you to respond to now. Because we always live in obedience to the Word of God. And God will transform every area of your life as we continue and journey with Him in that. Okay? But there is something for you to respond to at all times. Where does this come from? Where do we get that? I already said it comes. It has to be inspired by Scripture. But it also doesn't help us saying, like, okay, cool, I'm just going to start at Genesis 1. I'm going to see what there is for me to obey, and I hope before I die I get to Revelations. God, through His Spirit, has a way to work with you and bring those things to you. Now I'm going to take a slight different angle now than what you maybe have expected, and then I'm going to take another different angle than what you maybe have expected. Okay? But I was just afraid if I make the things where I'm heading to the actual title that the church wouldn't be that full this morning. So, I'm just joking. You guys are not laughing. Like, is the evening service more like, do they laugh more and things? Are we still waking up this morning? Maybe because I didn't sleep much last night. Now it still feels to me like evening, so I'm in my evening mode. But say, like, kaiki funny barn. We can be kaiki funny barn in the morning as well, right? So there are some blessed sources that God has ordained for us to receive these words from that we should receive and obey and implement in our lives. And as a little model for that, I want to read to you Acts 2 verse 42. It speaks about the first church, and it brings great clarity into where we get these words from that we should obey. Says they devoted themselves, they are the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I didn't underline the breaking of bread, not that it's not important. What it refers to more likely than not is both the communion and having meals together. All right, so that's what that refers to. It kind of adds to having fellowship in that sense. But the things they devoted themselves to. You understand what it is to devote yourself to something? When you study an honors or a master's, like pre-grad, you don't always have to devote yourself to that. You can devote yourself to many things. But when you study a postgraduate thing, more likely than not, you have to devote yourself to that. It means you spend time on it. It comes into your head. It comes into your heart. It goes into your hands. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Their leaders' teaching. And to fellowship. To the breaking of bread. And to prayer. Are you devoted to the teachings of the leaders in this church? Your church. Many of you are not from this church. Are you still devoted to the teachings of your leaders? We'll be speaking about that this morning. Are you devoted to fellowship? Because this is where we receive the word from God. This is where we receive the words of instruction that He wants us to obey. God has got a specific model, a specific design, a specific order that He wants us to live in that includes the teaching of the apostles or the leaders in our midst of our fellowship, to have fellowship, to be with one another in the presence of God, and then to pray, which, if I may, I've translated to personal devotion. Are you devoted in your personal times of prayer? Are you devoted to attending fellowship? Now, if you say attending fellowship, it sounds like a program. I'm speaking about small group. Yes, I'm speaking about your accountability. Are you still in accountability, by the way? Men, married men, are you still in accountability? Are you still speaking to someone about the way you look at women and about the way you engage the Word of God? Because you know as well as I do, if you're not, you're on a slippery slope. Are you with me? Get into accountability if you're not. There are many other good reasons for that as well. And be part of the social fabric, the social stuff that's happening at church. And some of you would say, oh, it's so difficult. I don't feel that I fit in or this or that. It sometimes takes you quite a few years to get in. But it's not because it's nice for you. It's because it's really good for you and the church. And the church needs you. So get in there and serve. So in those fellowship moments, we find so many things that God speaks to us through our fellow Christians. And are you devoted to your personal time of prayer with God? Or are they just, life is busy? That's what Martha said. Oh, life is busy. Oh, and you know what Martha said? Martha told Jesus, I am busy serving you. I have no time to sit at your feet. I'm busy serving you. I'm doing the most holy thing. Now tell Mary to come and help me. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. And He used these words. He said, Mary, what did He say about Mary? He said, one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary in your life, Martha, and it's not even to serve Jesus. It's to sit at His feet and listen to His teaching, the thing Mary chose, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Are you devoted to the feet of Jesus? Are you still? There where life flows, where His love is made manifest to you, are you devoted to this? Now, I'm going to spend more time now on local church and the leadership of local church, because the leader of this local church is not here. I don't see him here. I don't see Theo here. I don't see Melissa here. So there's a couple of elders, but not all of them. So I think I'm just going to go for it, okay? And if Dale, like Dale's pretty liberal, so he'll probably let it go and try to fix it afterwards. But Helmut might. We'll see what happens, Helmut. But you can stop me. But I don't. So, I just want to get back to local church, because many of us in this charismatic movement, if we are still called a charismatic, in the evangelical movement, we understand full well that fellowship is beautiful and important and lovely, and we receive easily from God in that space, most of us. And our personal devotion, we do at least understand that it's pretty important for us to have a relationship with Christ that looks like that. Thank you. Those things make me, it's like white noise, and we fall asleep easy when white noise is going, especially parents. You're like, that's the thing I put on for my child when I want them to fall asleep. So that's why I was speaking so loud and energetic. Usually I'm much more reserved than that. It was just for the sake of the fan. Now I have one less fan. Thank you. Oh, I think Simon made my day this morning. I walked in and he said, "Are you preaching today?" I said, "Yes." And a teenager said, "I love it when you preach, my dear brother." And I was like, I almost started crying. I was like, this is the most beautiful moment. I hope I don't mess it up today. I'll try my best, Simon. And then I realized afterwards, it's just because Siko runs around a lot, so he needs to follow with camera the whole time. And I stand in one place. That's why he loves it when I preach. So I'm going to run around today, Simon, and we'll see how well you listened afterwards. Sorry about that. It's because I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to say, so then you make jokes in the meantime while you're like, God, help me. You know, one of the issues in our modern day is that we have got too many things coming at us to respond to. Therefore, it becomes impossible for the human mind to process everything that it's been thrown at it and respond to it. It's too much. And we open ourselves up to too much. I'm going to tell you what I mean just now. But we open ourselves up to too much, and we think more is great, but more is not always great. Because we cannot process all the more. You cannot process the verse that pops up on your Bible app first thing in the morning, and what God then does in your devotion, and the sermon you listen to John Piper or Bill Johnson or whoever, and the thing that happened in small group, and the thing that Ross said on Sunday, it's too much. So what do you learn to do? You learn to not obey it. Because you cannot, for the life of you, you cannot process it. It's too much. And you go on a rush of just new revelations and cool stuff. And you didn't mean to, but then you become deceived, like we said. And one of the great dangers is the our online teachers. There are great things online, okay? It's a great help very often. But I want to speak to you guys and say that many of us are making way too much of our online teachers. Can you taste the fruit of their lives like you're supposed to? To know whether they are false prophets or not. No, you cannot. Have you even had a meal with them and see whether they are polite? and kind? Are they patient and kind? Do they have the fruit of love, or do they not? You don't know, do you? Oh, but they teach so well. They teach so well. I have preached, maybe not this one, but I have preached great sermons. And then immediately after that, I walk out and I'm irritated with my wife or my child. And you would never have thought. Because I just spoke about personal devotion. I even used the word personal devotion. You'd probably think, oh, that man probably prays from 4 a.m. only when I need to prepare a sermon do I wake up at 4 a.m. I struggle with that also. And then sometimes I would watch boxing videos for the first 20 minutes and just say, God, I'm so sorry, I'm wasting my time now. What am I doing? Anyway, that wasn't part of the sermon. Where was I? But I do also struggle a lot. I don't want to preach at you and have you think I've got it down. But anyway, so why did I say that? You do not live with those. That's one of the reasons we live with other people. As a leader, I want people to see my life. And if the people that sees my life do not want to follow me because they see my life, then I shouldn't be a leader. But when they do want to follow me, when they see my life, then I can just say, thank you, Jesus. I know how horrible I am, yet these people test my fruit and they say, I'll follow you. Jesus is still God. He's still the one. But you cannot evaluate the fruit of your online teachers. It also, in a way, can distort God's design for local church. Because now Bill Johnson is so much cooler than Ross Van Niekerk, because Bill Johnson gets 1.3 million views on every one of his videos, but Ross only gets 179. Just Ross. And you become familiar with Ross. We'll speak about that just now. You become familiar with these people that you know. Actually, that's from the devil, because the fact that you know them is the very reason that you should receive from them, because you can see they're godly, beautiful people. But the very fact that you know them in our human fleshly minds brings us to familiarity with them. And familiarity breeds contempt. And we don't receive from them anymore because we think, it's just a Ross. When he turned 40, we said, he's no Oros. When he turns 50, he'll be Oros. And one day when he turns 80, he'll be Oros. Jacques, didn't you make that advert? I think Jacques was the one that made that advert many, many moons ago. and I think that Chomp one, but anyway, you remember the Chomp one? Yeah, we were. All right. So it distorts the design for local church, because now we rather listen to what Bill Johnson or John Piper had to say on this matter, because we're not so sure about what Ross just said. But God has called us to receive and to esteem high the leaders He has given us. How do you feel in your heart about a sermon from Thew or Ross or Dale versus some of your favorite online personalities that you don't know anything about? But they're anointed preachers. Now, have you seen anointed preachers fall? Have you heard about those secret sins that just come out? You're like, how could it be possible? But did you ever spend time with them enough so you could actually judge the fruit and see whether if you just eat with them, if they're just kind or not? Because if they're just horrible people to be with, you should have known, even though they're anointed teachers. So these skins can be a very helpful tool to supplement our personal devotion and close fellowship, but we should be very careful if in our hearts we like someone famous more than Oros. The Word of God says, Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, remember your leaders who spoke the Word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, I know a little bit of the outcome of the way of life of some of your leaders, and I can tell you that I am I've got a great respect for the leaders you've got in this congregation, pastors and elders. The outcome of their way of life that you should consider is fruitful and it's beautiful. And therefore you should imitate their faith. The Word of God says we should esteem others higher than ourselves. So it doesn't only reflect that it's not only with regards to our leaders, but it definitely also speaks to them. In verse 17 it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Is your heart submitted to the leader of your local church if you're not from this one? Is your heart submitted, or is there a bit of familiarity, a little bit of offense in your heart? That's just you. I used to smoke pipe with you, man. Nice message, bro. Or you're humbly submitted to the word that comes from the living God that is shared in God's order, his local church, his order, not the online world that comes to you to respond to. I wouldn't have preached this message if you do not have amazing leaders. I have been familiar with Ross, for instance. I've been offended with Ross. I have repented, because most of the time I was dreadfully wrong. And I have the utmost respect for him, and I've got awe for the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart, even though I can call him a friend, as many of you can. But do you have that awe and respect for the leaders that God has placed in your midst? Or are you offended at me even saying it? And how highly do we esteem them? This is such an unpopular message in our circles today, because our secular society have just come down so hard on leaders, and especially male leaders, that you're almost not even allowed to say things like this. Then demons start manifesting, but it's still the order of God. We don't do blind honor. Okay, and you'll say, yeah, but like everyone's just a human, they can fall, blah, 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 blah. Well, tell that to yourself about your online guy. And don't honor them higher than the one whose fruits you can actually taste. We give blind honor to online personalities, but we don't want to give honor that's due to our leaders. I'm not saying that you all don't. I'm definitely not saying that. I just sometimes preach in the extreme, but just want to call us to this. To this place. You know, even Jesus, it doesn't matter how good you are as a leader. Doesn't matter. Those around you, those who know you and see you, they'll do what they said, what they did to Jesus. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Well, I don't care. He just drove out demons. He healed people. He did all these things. But isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary and auntie's brothers James, who wrote the book of James? Joseph, Simon, and Judas, it's Jude, who wrote the book of Jude. Actually, blah, 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 blah. And they took offense. They took offense. We know this guy. Isn't that little Jesus who grew up here? We know this guy. It's a fleshly response that we should be aware of, and it even happened to Jesus. It doesn't really matter how holy your pastor is or unholy is, you might still just have that familiarity in your heart. Are you with me? Okay. We went from silent to excited to silent again. Okay. So that's the end of my sermon. Now you guys are going to talk to each other. Extroverts, are you excited?
Woo-hoo.
We're going to have some discussions. There are three different slides that we're going to discuss, so that's not the last one that you will do. But that'll bring some of these things to the fore. The first discussion, and you will have a group of three, make it three or four, not more than four, okay? Otherwise you're going to not have enough time. And if you're not in this church, then you can speak about what's happening in your church, okay? And you can relate this to that. If you're not in any church, then you can sit in and listen and tell them, I'm not in any church, just want to listen. Is that fine? I think I'm covering everyone. So make your group and ask these first three questions first. What are some of the major themes and words coming through the leadership of this church over the last year or two? What, I would actually love to know as well, how are you responding to or obeying that? What other stuff you listen to might be diluting your devotion to what the Lord is saying through your local leaders? Just quickly, I really want you to get this concept. It's a clear concept in my mind. I just want it to be a clear concept in your mind. This concept of God's design. The concept of God's design. His order, the way he created things to be in the church. And what we have, the way we conduct ourselves in relation to that. Does that make sense? There's a way. So turn to people around you, and I'm going to give you 5 minutes to discuss these three questions, and then we're going to move on. 1, 2, 3, go for it. Just to quickly interject there, so as you go on to question two, also, I mean, it's not only about responding to or obeying it, but how is your heart aligning to that? Is the themes that God is showing to his local church that you're a part of, is that in your heart, or is it someone else's thing? Because you're called as part of a local body for that, to be a part of your heart. So just respond to that as well. Is it something to me? Like, do I get it? Do I want it or not? And yeah, then you can respond to how you are responding to or obeying that. All right, we're going to move to the next one. So if I can get your attention quickly. Maybe it's important for your, if there's someone in the group that maybe talks the whole time, I just want to tell you don't do that. If you've got 5 minutes, it means everybody's got 1 minute. Okay, it's an assumption we can make. So, like, choose a little group leader if you have to, and then they can just keep time, and everyone can get a chance to share. There might be conversations that you want to take further later. Do that, okay? This might be a great opportunity. Next set of questions I want you to discuss. Where do you go to catch up, or I'd use the word rework, that's the wrong word, but where do you go to catch up on words brought in this church? Where do you regularly go to catch up? Do you? And then, like, what is your habit regarding ensuring that you properly take the words to heart and bring them to action? And don't say, oh, well, I know it's on YouTube and I have once. So don't give the Sunday school answer of you go on YouTube and then you click there and then you watch it. What is your habit? Do you have one? Do you not have one? I, for years, haven't had one to actually do this, because I didn't, when I think about the local church and stuff, I just would rather want to read a book of some mighty man that I don't know. Okay, so just be honest. Where do you catch up? Do you know? And what is your habit to make sure that you work through these things properly? 1, 2, 3, go. All right, let's move on to the next one, and then we're going to pray for each other in our groups. So if I can have your attention, please. The last discussion slide. I want you to take out your mobile phone. You see, many of us have got a big problem with this phone, right? Because it gets us addicted. No matter what you do on it, you get addicted, right? And I've realized that this is not part of anything. This is just an added extra, but it's yours for free today only. So if you see your phone as a problem, you need to avoid or just get rid of or whatnot. You're never gonna overcome it. See your phone as a healthy tool that you need to use well. Then it is much better. Okay, but anyway, I don't know if you've got the same problems as I. But take your phone out, go to YouTube, go to your church. If this is not your church, if this is your church, go to your YouTube page where all the sermons are loaded. There are other places where you can listen to them as well. If you want to go there, you're welcome. But go to the YouTube where they are listed, and then look back on the last 5 sermons for this service, for the morning service that you attend. Look at them. And then have a discussion with those around you. Number one, have you listened to this one? If not, go to your calendar right now and decide where you're going to put aside 45 minutes to listen. You don't have to listen to the whole 2-hour thing. You can just, don't want to say skip the worship, but I mean, that sounds unbiblical. But just, you know, skip the worship, go to this where they start preaching and then listen that. Have you listened to it? If not, make a point. Go to your calendar now. Keep each other accountable and say, I haven't listened to that one yet. I haven't followed it up yet. I'm going to do that. Not, I will sometime, but life is busy. Life is not too busy for God. If you have listened to it, what was your take home? If you cannot remember your take home, often I definitely can't. If you cannot remember, go to your calendar, book a slot to re-listen. With ears of honor, as you would listen to if this was like your favorite, if Billy Graham preached it. And then the third question is, if you have had a take home from those sermons, it's usually like one little thing that stands out, right? How have you done implementing or obeying it? So there's like a nice flow there that you could follow as you discuss it for the next 5 minutes. Does it make sense, Dale? On your marks, get set, go. All right, it seems like most of you are done. I want you to pray for each other now. You can continue this conversation afterwards, but if we could just go to the last slide, I just want to mention this. So obviously you don't know the fruit of my life or of Jan Slabbert that was here earlier, but because you trust the leadership of this church, they are the ones that has to test and know those fruits. So you receive the ones they receive. And if anything goes wrong, like if I mess up badly, then I'm sure the elders and Ross would rectify that with you. Because sure, you can trust them, whoever they send. And then I want you to now pray. I want you to pray and repent of the sin of familiarity if that's in your heart. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Okay? If there's familiarity in your heart with regards to the leaders of your congregation, I want you to pray for that. It's very detrimental to your faith and the growth of the local church. And then I want you to pray for your leaders. And if you have hurt in your heart with regards to leadership, whether of this church or whether leadership in general, I want to encourage you to make sure that you get an appointment with a counselor to work through this, because it can destroy so much of our faith if we have a general hurt with leadership or leadership in this church. Please work through that. Don't leave it, because it's a wonderful avenue of grace God wants to have open for you. So don't have it closed. So please pray and pray for each other, and then I will close in prayer after that. Go for it. Lord, I thank you for time together in your word and in your presence and in fellowship with one another this morning. I pray that whatever seed was sown through your spirit in our hearts, that it would take root. And we declare that no weapon of the enemy will come and steal that seed, but it will grow and it will bear fruit in Jesus' name. Father, just pray a blessing over all of us as we leave this place to go in the peace of God and to extend that shalom peace wherever we go to His glory and our joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you have a lovely Sunday.